I've done far worse than kill you. I've hurt you. And I wish to go on hurting you. I shall leave you as you left me.
As you left her. Marooned for all eternity in the center of a dead planet. Buried alive. Buried alive. Come!
Waka waka, guys. Welcome back to another episode of Shut Up and Refill My Popcorn. March podcast in madness took a little speed bump, but we're back at it. Back on the tail end of the track. This episode, I'm joined by another guest, another returning guest, Mr. Russell Mojo, a.k.a. Mike the Hitman, a.k.a. the Popcorn Defiler, the Popcorn Bandit.
That's right. And if you haven't heard that story, guys, you got to watch previous episodes. It's rather amusing.
Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, again, here he is, the guest. And what are we going to be reviewing today, this evening?
Oh, we're going to try and review, to the best of our ability and knowledge, the lovely piece of art that was Star Trek V. Not three, not four, but five. Star Trek V, folks. It was very godly,
to say the least. So a little backstory. If you haven't heard, the previous guest was, this was one of the movies he had said he had seen, or he had told me at one time that it was a piling piece of shit, the worst one he's ever seen in the Star Trek franchises. I told him,
wait, out of the original, out of all Treks?
Out of the original, like, I'm assuming the original, original films before the whole, what was his name? The 2009 reboot and even the TNG movies from the 90s.
Yeah, I know. The guy with the creative face. I just can't remember his name.
That's a little fucked up. But
it's true. Eric, he's got creative face.
Keebler Cholo. He had said there was that movie that really didn't do it for him. And I did a little research on it. And I reached out to him. Hey, if you want to do it, come back on the show. You know, well, let's do that movie. He was so like, no, I don't want to watch it again. I don't want to watch it again.
I'm the charity then, because he didn't want to
watch it. You chose it too.
I know, but go with me, man. Because he didn't want to. I had to fill the Star Trek slot. Thanks a lot, pal. Yeah, Joey, damn. You know I don't care to do almost anything with you for video. For comedic efforts. Thanks a lot, buddy.
All right, so we did something else, and go back and check that episode out that came out a couple weeks ago. And so here we are doing Star Trek V. This is probably going to get me a little bit of hate or a little bit of disgust looking, or that disgust deal. I've never seen any of the Star Trek movies prior to, I think the first one I ever saw was Generations. Out of all the Star Trek movies I remember seeing, and I saw more of the TNG.
You mean
version.
As a whole?
No, well, yeah.
With the Trek name in general. In
the very first movie that was a Star Trek movie that I saw was Star Trek Generations with William Shatner and Captain Picard and Kirk coming together.
Yeah, a nice one.
But where I'm getting at is I've never seen any of the previous movies or the original series cast movies, like Star Trek 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6. And then obviously I've seen the reboots. What is that guy's name? Zach Abrams? No. J.J. Abrams. I was like, I just merged two dudes together. And
yeah, they all got the same last name. Sorry. Yeah, I don't
know. All you white guys look alike. Sorry.
See, you beat me to that. I was going to say something about white, but every time I say something, I'm either racist or I'm tone deaf. So I keep my mouth shut.
So yeah, I've always heard The Wrath of Khan is probably the best Star Trek movie ever.
Out of the originals, it really was. It really was. And then not just because of the epic soundbite, you know, with Khan.
Oh, yeah. That's one of the things I more want to see the original, the very first one, then maybe get into the second one. I kind of know the story with the third one with Spock being dying in the second film. And then we get to this one and we get to 1989's Star Trek V, The Final Frontier. Where do we start with this one other than, I think Keebler had said this was the one where they meet God.
Well, supposedly they meet God.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I could say, you know, where you say, where do you start off with this? I could say, well, you start off from number four. But no, that's not the case because of how number five starts off, where they are, what they're doing. You know, they're having their kumbaya moment, so to speak. So you really don't know what happened between four and five and why they were even having that kumbaya moment in the beginning, I guess, with them camping or whatnot. You know, Kirk is there with Spock, McCoy. They're enjoying themselves. So right there, you know, anybody who hasn't really watched a lot of Star Trek or is an avid fan will understand, you know, what they went through and why they're just enjoying themselves. And I kind of, what was it in the beginning? There was something kind of snappy or something that McCoy said. I forgot, but it had me chuckling and laughing because it led to, I guess, him trying to play the guitar or sing a song in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And Spock was looking at him like, what are you guys, freaking nuts? I don't do that shit. But that was the look that he gave. And I just kind of like cracked up.
Yeah, they were like on some sort of leave or something, and then, well, the movie starts off with an unknown Vulcan walking through something like a desert planet.
Oh, okay, I didn't know you. All right.
Yeah, coming across a guy, and I guess, and his name in the movie is Spylock. He's Spock's half brother.
Spylock.
It's
one of those damn, something similar. But you know, it's funny how you mentioned that in the beginning, because I forgot to say this. Well, I was going to say, but I didn't know when. But you're right about the very beginning. And if you mentioned it, you know what it looked like and reminded me of?
What, the very beginning?
Yes, with the guy in the desert. It reminded me of the Christian Bale in the Marvel movie. He played the villain.
Gore the God Butcher or something like that.
Yes, yeah, that's it. Whatever movie that was, that's what it reminded me of, because there was a guy. He played the guy in the desert, and then something happened, and then he got the powers of a god. How that started off.
Yeah.
It's like they watched Star Trek V and they said, oh, okay, we'll do that. It looks good. A godly being, supposedly, meeting somebody in the desert. The guy in the desert sees his Vulcan trick and then thinks he's of God. But see,
he does like some kind of mind, or like some, well, he makes you see your biggest fear, because they call it brainwashing, because there's a lot of people that come into contact with him that he does this too, and they're not opposing him. Now they're on his side.
Yeah, it's like he helps. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
He's recruiting these I won't say apostles, but he's recruiting these followers for a common cause. Like, and the common cause is basically finding the maker, finding the almighty being that created life and created, you know, every civilization, that like the Romulans, the Klingons, the humans, Vulcans, they all speak of an almighty. And that's almost similar to like a lot of religions on earth. Like a lot of, you know, you got your Christians, your Buddhists, your,
yes,
your Hindus, you know, and everybody has somebody that, you know, created us, you know, and
if I could cut it, it's like they were afraid of saying God by saying maker, creator, all that. Because I think, yeah, they would have said God once or twice during the, yeah, whole movie. So, yeah, yeah, that's what they were going with, a maker or a creator. Because after he did his Vulcan power trick, which is basically releasing you of your fears so you're more open to everything. So, yeah, then the endorphins are flying. So, yeah. He got himself a whole load of recruits because of that. So you're right. It's kind of like having an apostle or a follower. Yeah.
And so like in this beginning of the film, he takes so many followers that he has already and he takes captive, I guess it's like a settlement of some sort of like three different governments, I guess, working together or something.
Federations, yeah. You got Klingons. Yeah. Some other thing, and then the, yeah, humans, of course, with the Vulcan guy. And it's like, yeah, all of them, it's like, it makes you wonder, how did he get to them? What, you know, they should have showed a little bit of the communication between him, the other group, and the Vulcans because of what happened at the end. Now, we're not going to talk about the end. I'm just saying they should have showed just a little bit of that communication to make people understand, hey, we got those Klingons and other people here for a reason. They didn't. Yeah. It would have clarified the pop for the very end more clear.
Yeah, like I think that's may have been something that they edited out, you know, because I was completely lost by the time we got to the end. And we'll get there in a second.
Right.
But, and so like in this story, they hijack this little checkpoint, this little depot or whatever, and attempts to get a Federation or some sort of starship so they can hijack it. They're basically hijacking a starship to make it through, what was it, the Great Barrier or the Beyond or something they called it?
The Beyond, yeah.
And
not to be confused with the Kobayashi Maru, because they mentioned that too in the beginning, but that had to do with the other movies.
Ah,
you lost me. That's way over, I know, that's way over your head right now. So, like, yeah, other Trek fans will totally understand.
Yeah, but yeah, so
sorry,
and
Joey.
So you know, this whole kidnapping situation gets the Federation's attention. They send out, basically, they send out for Kirk and his team to be, hey, we need you guys. And they're, I think they're building, this was a new ship, correct? It was like still in the process of being built or something. Like it was still had some hiccups and, yes, mechanical issues on it.
A lot of hiccups. Because they and were Scotty, wondering, how is this thing going to function out, yeah, there?
Scotty was just having hell fucking keeping this shit together.
Yeah.
And so basically the crew that's on board already basically goes out and gets everybody like, hey, vacation's over. Wow. We need y'all back. Yeah, come on back. They go on their mission. And then they're trying to get some guards, like their attention or something, because they use Aurora as like a almost like a sexual decoy of some sort.
Have you, didn't you notice that? That part, yeah, because with my blurred vision, sometimes I can't, yeah, see too much of things, but I saw those hips smile. I was like, hell, now who is this? Yeah, and then it's Aurora. They used her as bait to lure them in. Yeah. I was like you go, girl, women, huh? Hey, I enjoyed it.
Gilfs, huh?
Like, how you doing? Hey.
And
what's
so,
your sign? Mine is stop.
And so they're up and running with, you know, their plan is falling into place. Kirk is probably the only one who's like still hesitant, or even I wouldn't say he's immune to the Psylocke's powers, but you know, McCoy got under his spell, you know, seeing the vision of his dying father and, you know, the incident that happened between him and his father at that time. The same thing goes with Spock, but Spock doesn't really fall for that shit either. Like, he doesn't because he's half human, and so he's like, you know, almost immune. Not, I wouldn't say immune, but he just like he. They try to get him with the fact that, oh, hey, your dad didn't love you when you were born, didn't want nothing to do with you, and he's like, I don't give a fuck.
Right.
So.
Right. It was just if the Vulcan side of him can make him seem very unaffectionate.
Yeah.
And he comes off very stern and cold, but that's how he was in his upbringing compared to his half brother. I don't want to give it away yet, but all right, fuck it. It's his half brother. That's how they know each other.
I already said that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, that's how he knows how his half brother is and how he acts because they had, I guess it was the same father, like you were saying, the father. But they
that's a little weird, wasn't it? He's his half brother. He's full Vulcan, but he sounds nothing like Spock or even.
No.
He's more like, hey, like he's not all like Charlie Manson, all high, like, hey, man. But
that's,
he's like,
you nailed it. I was just going to say,
he sounds more human.
One is like, had the upbringing in West Point, the other one had the upbringing in Woodstock. That's the difference between the two.
Yeah. And it, I don't know if they got into any of like what started him on this pilgrimage. Or they might have brought it up, or he might have stated it, but
yeah, he did.
It must have dodged me because I remember I started this movie and I had stopped and started it again. So what?
It wasn't anything really big or like mind blowing. It was just briefly. I think he mentioned he was always wondering or curious because he's had, I guess, these visions. Or thoughts about it. So he wanted to gather a group and travel and see if there was anything beyond. Because he's always getting these thoughts that something's attracting him to someone or something of a higher entity.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's why he wanted to do this pilgrimage.
Yeah. And so they take the ship and they make their way across to the great beyond, to the unknown, through the great barrier, I mean. And they cross through and they make it to this blue glowing planet. And there's nothing on there. You know, you would think maybe, you know, make it look heavenly or some sort of like buildings or, you know, carvings. But
you got to remember, though, before that, they... Basically, when you mentioned Uhura dancing, that was them trying to infiltrate the base where the Vulcan half-brother was, wanting to get the refugees that he abducted out of there, because that was a Federation mission job Kirk was tasked. So they go there like that with Uhura, but then they're captured themselves. It was an oh shit moment. So then all between that, was a whole bunch of other shit going on. And basically, he did the mind thing on McCoy. So what I'm trying to do is sum up the moment to where you left off with them going to the planet. So then we'll talk about the planet. He went, he did that to McCoy. He did it to Kirk. And he tried doing it to Spock, like you were saying.
Yeah, because they infiltrated the base and then... They kidnapped everybody and they went back to the ship and then that's when they did all that shit.
Right, because there was a lot of fight. There was other fights, other them trying to escape, them being caught.
I think that was just the action scene because it, like you said, it was just a big fart in the wind because it was a ruse. They thought they were going to save them
people know and try to understand and find out, though, for some who may want to know a little more before they watch this movie that's supposedly Star Trek. Go ahead.
I'm saving them the trouble. Let's just put it that way.
You're doing God's work, Joe. You're saving people a lot of heartache who may want to get into Star Trek and they enjoy some of the remakes and then some of the originals. And then all of a sudden they come across five.
I mean, I would say just do what I'm going to do and just watch part two and that'll be it. I mean, which one's the one with the whales? 3 or 4?
I think 4.
Well, I'd say fuck it. Watch 1 through 4. Skip 5. Yeah. And I didn't even know there was a 6, but I think there's a 6. And then that's when it goes into the first.
And go figure, that's better than 5.
I mean, I grew up watching the Star Trek The Next Generation and then knowing more familiar with that series than the original and the original movies. And then, yeah, those, like, I remember first, I had heard First Contact, but I think the one, the very first one I ever saw was Generations. And I think there was another one. There's Generations, First Contact, Insurrection, and then Nemesis.
Yes.
And I kind of think that's, there's nothing before Generations, correct?
Not that I can remember.
And then, yeah, and we got
I'm not as huge of a Star Trek fan as I am Star Wars, but I do like and enjoy Star Trek. But when it came to a lot of the new generation stuff, I didn't care for a lot of the movies. Mm-hmm. I didn't even like Picard. I honestly didn't even like The Next Generation until the Picard series, because then it made mm-hmm. me appreciate it. And as an older fan, it made me want to watch the movies again.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it's like for somebody getting new into Star Trek and you want to watch the original, well, the first one was, all right. They only did it because they had a TV show. But number 2, we're at the con. Great. Number 3, all right. It was okay. You watched it because Spock came back to life. 4, good.
I'm interested to see how that happened.
Yeah. 4, good. 5, 6, good. It's like, why is every other one? Yay. But that's
and they still make them afterwards. Yeah. I mean, Star Trek, if you think about it, Star Trek is a credible franchise.
Yes. And so was the animated series. I really liked it. You'll enjoy the animated series more than Star Trek 4.
You mean 5 or 4?
I'm sorry, 5. I meant 5. Sorry. Yeah, the animated series was real good. I saw that, and I was one of those kids that when Mego was making all the figures from the TV shows, my mother's friend had a small mom at a little toy store. I had all the Happy Days figures, Kiss, had Star Trek. I had about every single one except for Uhura. For some reason, that was hard to find.
Yeah, I think they were keeping it away from you.
Yeah, probably. They probably knew what I was like as a kid. I'll be looking up the outfit, the skirt, making her and Barbie have apartment cat fight wrestling matches like we used to see in the magazines, cat fights. Be like, hell, fuck yeah. Reading through and looking. Then we find out you got to order by tape. It's like, oh. But anyway, it had the toys. I'm sorry, action figures. They were the 12-inch ones. Get your mind out of the gutter, Joseph.
Moving on. Back to the movie.
So they're bad.
They make it to the planet. Spock, McCoy, Kirk, and Psylocke. I'm gonna fuck up his name. I should open.
I don't care. Warlock, Vorlock, Psylocke, Cybok. I guess it was. Spock, Cybok. Who cares? You got me sold that it's Psylocke. Fuck it.
And they meet God. God.
Yeah, luckily they met God because the fucking ship almost didn't make it.
Well, see, he had whatever this being was, he has some shape-shifting abilities. And he's even talking to these guys. You know, how did y'all make it here? And they told him with a starship. And then I don't know if Kirk was just being the atheist type character. Like he's not blinded And maybe that's something that he grew up being like, wait, what is God? You know, that's my best impression.
Why are you asking of these things like this? Why?
Jesus Christ. Why? Everything is with God. So. Asked the question. He asked it with why does God need a starship?
Yep.
Why would God need a starship if he needs something to transport him to send his message out? And this starts to agitate God to the point where he shoots laser beams out of his eyes and doesn't kill nobody, right. Phases them or stuns them.
But then it makes you think Kirk is right. If he's God, he just makes shit appear and have it done.
Yeah, like what? Why, if you're God, what's keeping you here in this place?
I mean, like, and God, give me $1 million and a bunch of women from Hooters.
What's Hooters? But yeah, so that would, you know, as an audience member, and I guess because it's like it's coming down to the wire at the end of the movie, there was no explanation that, oh, well my name's not God, actually, my name is Jed, Todd, maybe. My name's Todd. Yeah. I pissed off some aliens. You know, there was a group of us. We created a bunch of shit. They didn't like the fact that I killed your dinosaurs. You know what I mean? And before they imprisoned me, I didn't realize they were going to imprison me. I blew them the fuck up. And when I blew them the fuck up, I got trapped in the Phantom Zone. And
I was just going to say that, Joey. I was just going to fucking say.
Yeah. You know, so that's probably, you know, who knows? Because there's no backstory. It's just, I'm not, I'm God, and give me your ship, motherfucker. Like, he's trying to, everybody's trying to hijack these motherfuckers.
Right. It was, you beat me to the punch. I almost did. Yeah, you beat me to the punch on the Phantom Zone shit because I had something good I was going to say. But, well, technically, you didn't have the fucking hot woman with them in the middle. You know, with that diamond thing, the crest that was fucking floating. But you know, the person watching has to try to understand and decipher what's going on, why he's there like that, and that he's trying to escape. But like you said, he's caught in the Phantom Zone. So what he basically was doing was trying to, whether it's mental telepathy or whatever he had to do, he basically found someone gullible to want to, I guess, adhere to want to track down what's going on. You know, someone of high intelligence is going to rethink that, but somebody like him, who basically, it's like he knew the guy that's in the Phantom Zone, Jed, let's say.
Yeah,
it's like he knew what
he said it earlier when Psylocke said that he heard his voice or he heard him. So that's what I'm saying. The God must have sent some sort of like, and not to get like, oh, they sent radio signals from outer space and to whoever's at that capable level of interstellar travel
to hear it, like a dog with a dog whistle,
and get there, and have something to get them there. So, you know, he was basically throwing out the line, and any chance of somebody, you know, getting the hook.
Oh, Cyborg was the dummy that got that hook. All right.
Yeah. Now I got you, motherfucker. Now give me your ship. I'm out this bitch.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Wow. God must be really pissed off if he's shooting out fucking lasers out of his eyes. But almost pinpoint accuracy and didn't want to kill him. I found that kind of, that's when Kirk was saying, you know, and why would God want to hurt somebody with fucking laser beams or whatever he said?
Yeah.
You know, I was laughing my ass off. Yeah. Well, why be vengeful God? You know, and that's what pissed the guy off even fucking more. And I guess to the point where Cyborg must have felt really bad about his actions and doings and basically sacrificed himself.
Yeah.
What Cyborg should have done. Yeah, he should have just fucking ran tail out of there and talked to the people in the Federation. Let's get out of here. Except no, they had to give him the fucking go home treatment. They had him speak with the fucking guy and give himself up basically as a sacrifice. And what did he do? He did that brainwashing fucking shit. And then everything exploded. Kablooey.
Yeah. It was almost like a computer. Like, oh shit, this was a complete waste of Federation time and effort
and money.
The end. Go back to your camp, go back to your campgrounds, guys, and sing row, row, row your boat.
That's, you know, and then what was it, after the explosion, you know, you get Kirk, Spock, McCoy, they go back to the ship.
Yeah.
And who do they see? Oh, yeah, well, we forgot to mention the Klingon bird of prey was after them throughout the whole movie. That's where I was going with the pop at the end. So, yeah, the Klingon bird of prey, I guess Joe and I failed to mention, has been after them the whole movie. Why? Because the fucking Klingons hate the Federation and hate Kirk. So they're going after him all this time. Well, lo and behold, that one of the guys Cybok had on there that he
on his side
forced his vision on, was one of the governors of the Klingon Federation and is basically in charge and with, you know, the fleet command for them.
Yeah.
So apparently he's on there with them, and it would have been great if they would have let us know that in the beginning, the communication aspect I was speaking of. So long story short, the head Klingon is there, finds out the bird of prey is there because somehow Spock got on that ship, we found out, and goes with their ship, and they start shooting at that thing. That's what caused it to explode. Okay, they started shooting at the god with the I guess their proton cannons or whatever it was, and that's how and that's how they freed Kirk. So then they get on there. So then they're wondering, how did you get on here, Kirk, or whatever, you know, because they freed him or whatnot. How did you save me? And now you see Spock. Why? Because Spock asked the Klingon, please help Kirk, please. That's a very vital moment right there. And so, you know, because of he was only there because of Cybok's mission. He had ill intent. Because he was in on it with them being captured and everything, Kirk, Spock, McCoy. So all of a sudden now he's a good guy because Spock had him help him. So apparently he was a bad guy. Now he's good. He helped save them. So the whole thing at the end was all friggin' topsy-turvy.
He said he was sorry. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Right. Let's have beers. Everybody, let's have beers. And
pretty much. And that's what they did. They all drank at the end. Wheel.
Yeah. The end. It's,
so you see what I'm saying? The community.
I can't understand why Keebler didn't want to watch this fucking movie. Let's just put it this way.
I understand. And I really wish the aspect of communication would have been brought into a lot clearer in the movie that I was mentioning, because it would have been more understanding of the very end and that pop moment, so to speak, where you find out it's Spock that saved Kirk because he had that Klingon who was out to do no good come back to the good side and agree to save Kirk. You know, like I said, the animated series was better than this. It was like they only did this just to get that Star Trek money. You can tell the years have passed between films. You could see, even though it was only a few years later, they looked like they were a decade older. But of course, not Shatner. He was still younger there. But you could tell he got another hairpiece. That's how much time has passed. Leonard Nimoy looked like he aged another 20 fucking years.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, why make that movie? Well, Star Trek money. It was hot in 89. Lots of great movies came out between 88 and 90. So I guess they had to make a Star Trek.
When did Star Trek The Next Generation became? Was that a year after this or a year before this? Because I kind of popped.
Who was that? That was Picard and all of them?
Picard and all of them.
It was in the 90s.
I kind of popped with the theme song that played at the beginning of this movie because, hey, that sounds exactly like the other Star Trek show. And then I kind of went into a rabbit hole, but I kind of did like some digging. And I think this movie came out before.
Yes.
Before TNG. And so they've already had the rights to it made and all that. So I was like, hey, let's use that song that's in part five for this show's theme song. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Hey, let me see. I looked it up now. It's not interfering, right? No. Okay. Star Trek Next Generation.
Might have been 91.
Well, no, wait. 80, if the movie
88,
the movie 89? Came out in 89, I think, right? The Star Trek 5?
Yeah.
I can't find anything. I'm guessing the New Generation itself. That's the one with Picard. I'm going to guess 87, 88, maybe. Around then, I guess the original series was long far gone. That only lasted 2 or 3 years of seasons. So, yeah, 87 or 88, maybe, for the next gen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's probably why they made another original series cast Star Trek movie, like 5, because of the success of Next Generation.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I could think of. If that movie came out, I guess, in 89.
All righty. Well, as we're winding down, I'll just say
I would have loved if they would have had some of the Next Generation cast on there. But I'll be honest, one of the Klingons did look like Worf, Michael Dorn. It looked like younger.
I think they all look like Worf at this time because the Klingons.
That's racist, bro.
I think in the original show, they didn't have like the headpieces and the hair and all that kind.
But I'm going by the cheekbones and what you see of the nose and the mouth. Really, the one of them near the end in the party scene, one of them did look like Michael Dorn because the voice too. You can't mistake that voice. Just like the guy on that movie, the TV show, The Oracle, Seth MacFarlane.
Okay.
Is that his sci-fi, The Oracle thing? Yeah, Orville, that's it. One of the guys there who plays the Klingon type like character. That guy's voice is recognizable almost all over what he does, TV or something, MacFarlane. So that's the type Michael Dorn is.
Yeah. Well, like I said, as we're winding down, let's go ahead and wrap this up with your final take on the film.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead. What's your final take? Is it a yay, nay?
It's an in-between, really. It's an in-between because if you are, I'm not going to say diehard. I mean, a diehard is going to watch that. But if you're somebody who is already a Trek fan, you'll appreciate the movie. If you're somebody just getting into Star Trek, you'll want to watch the movie because you want to watch all of them, let's say. So you start from one and then end at the last. That's what I would say for somebody who's going to watch it. I mean, if you haven't watched anything of Star Trek at all, don't just watch 5, please. You're doing yourself a huge displeasure. If you're curious, start with 1, or at least start with the new generation. That was a little more exciting. Or just start with the original Star Trek TV series, or even the animated if you like cartoons. Start with the animated. Then the TV show, then get into the Trek movies. Don't just leap in there because you really won't understand anything. You know, the best thing about, this is going to sound bad or funny, best thing about Star Trek 5 was the ending. Not because the movie was over, but they had their kumbaya moment at the very end.
That was stupid. Right.
Yeah. That you could tell was kind of like the send off, but then what did they do? There was another Star Trek movie. The one that was better than 5, I guess it was a 6, like you were saying.
Yeah, it was the Rocky Balboa to their Rocky 5.
Right. And then after that, there was no more original series. But the only other thing I could add to that is they should have incorporated the TNG cast in with that. To me, that would have made it a little better, as well as have more communication throughout the friggin' movie. There was a lot of things that people, wouldn't know or understand. And I'm not talking about throwing words out there like the Kobayashi Maru. That only Trekkies or people that have seen all of Star Trek are going to know what that is. But I'm just talking regular communication points for the plot.
I thought you were talking about meat.
Who?
Meat. Carne.
Like Kobe grade 5 beef.
Grass fed. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I will not eat Kobe. That's all a scam.
Well, he's dead. That's cannibalism.
Well, I was gonna say, if somebody probably, wants to eat meat,
probably it's gone bad by now. 4 years, you know.
That's terrible, Joey. And people say I say terrible and bad shit. I've been nice and calm today, Joey. I haven't said anything to make you cringe.
Nah. Don't get started yet.
No, I listen, Joe. I've been very cordial because it's a pleasure to be back with you.
As always, it's always fun having you on. It's always fun to have people from the past pop in and talk about bad movies. Yeah, so my take on this film, I mean, granted, I've only seen stuff after these movies came out. So going back, I'm kind of intrigued. I'm kind of waiting. You know, I want to get started. I want to start with part two and not even worry about part one, but I kind of feel I'm going to miss some stuff. So I might as well just watch part one, because I think part one had a bunch of, like,
of what
they were bringing in the crew, or they weren't going to bring in the crew.
Wait, I'm lost. Part two or part one of what?
Of Star Trek, the motion picture, Wrath of Khan.
All right, but you're saying part one and part two.
Yeah, part one and part two. Star Trek movies, part one and part two.
All right. You're okay. Never mind. You call them as parts.
Well, yeah, I'm not going to say the motion picture every time I talk about the first movie.
All right, it's just because you're saying parts. So I'm thinking you're watching a movie in general that has a part A and a part B to it.
No, I think that's stupid when they do that shit. Full fucking movie. Don't.
Right. You know, okay. What was it? All right, so now I know you're talking about
Mockingjay or whatever the fuck, the Hunger Games movie.
Yeah,
shit.
That they did, yeah. And I thought that was fucking. All right, so now I know it's movie one or movie two. All right, sorry.
Yeah, like when you, I think it was the book movies. The book movies that came out, and they set, Harry Potter did it, Hunger Games did it. There was another one. Did Twilight do it? I'm assuming they did because, oh, we want to fucking make more money off these fuckers. And
they drug it out, all the chapters of almost every book. They tried dragging them out into the movies.
So you might as well have done that with every single fucking book, but hey.
Yes. But sorry, now I understand what you mean by part one or two. All right. I thought you meant there was like two parts to one movie. So I apologize. That's my stupidity.
But see here, the clock is winding down. Hopefully people have stuck around with us and enjoyed our take on this movie.
They have. If not, go fuck yourselves. But they didn't.
Go fuck your mother. Hey.
Yeah, I didn't say that. He did. I do not condone fucking your own mother, whether she's alive or dead. Don't do it.
Is that necrophilia coming back again to haunt us?
Whatever it is, it's just wrong. Moms are for loving you and for cooking and consoling you when you do stupid shit.
Yeah, I don't say go fuck your own mother. Go fuck someone else's mother.
Well, still, in general,
it's fuck the mother of your children. Hey.
All right, fucking the mother of your children is different. All right, just to go fucking someone's mother. Is that someone's mother?
Your grandmother?
Well, that's even worse, Joey. That's disgusting. Squeeze the tits and fucking dust comes out.
You did say O'Hara was giving you the chubs, the half stock.
Well, dude, even at that age, she was attractive. But I could tell you now. But I could tell you now that really wasn't her in that silhouette. That was somewhat different.
I'm pretty sure Scotty got some of that chocolate pudding.
Yes, because that was one of the mind things that was done, right? So that was the other thing. Uhura had the mind thing done to her by Cybok or Psylocke, but she was very attentive and randy towards Scotty. And Scotty was like,
Scotty Pippen.
Yeah, he's like, what the fuck is going on with you, girl?
Yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is it. As always, we're about to head out of this, but let me go ahead and give my guests the floor. What is that you're promoting there? Your prowrestlingwear.com. Let the people know where you're at, what's up, what's going on.
All right. Well, thank you, Joe. Well, I guess if people do want to follow and hear what I don't have to say on Twitter, of course, the handle is WrestleMojo. And prowrestlingwear.com. If you want, or let's just say you're a professional wrestler, a manager, you're getting into pro wrestling and you want to wear pretty much the finest gear that about all the promotions are doing in the United States or in Japan, contact Pro Wrestling Wear. Go to prowrestlingwear.com. Anybody from WWE, TNA, or Impact, AEW, New Japan Strong, or even out on the Indies, good rates, great quality gear. That's it, man. If you want to look great, you'll go to Pro Wrestling Wear.
I want to thank Mike for jumping on again. And
yes, thank you, Joey. Always a pleasure.
And remember, guys, if you ain't laughing, you ain't living. Take care of yourself and the people you love. Nanu, nanu. Peace.
Take care, everybody.